book of Ephesians, chapter 5, verse 8. And I'm going to play a short video here in a moment as Weston's getting that queued up. I just want to read this tonight. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. Be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit. And the title of my message tonight is Be Filled with the Spirit. You know, this scripture, this portion of scripture, it lays out several things. He says, live wisely. He says, how many know we ought to live wisely? Live wisely as we're parenting. Live wisely as we're making decisions all through life. He says, live wisely. He says, make the most of every opportunity. Don't waste the time. Don't waste opportunities. Don't waste your life. He says, don't be foolish or lost. You can look at that as lost, foolish and lost. But rather than that, understand what the will of God is. You know, when you understand the will of the Lord and you walk with Him, you won't be foolish. You won't waste time. You won't take detours in life. And then at the end, he says, don't get drunk. He says, but rather, or instead, be filled with the Spirit. How are we going to do all of those things? How are we going to live wisely? How do we make the most of every opportunity? How do we not be foolish? How do we understand the will of God? How do we walk out our lives making good decisions and being productive and really focusing on what matters in life? How do we do all of that? It's pretty hard in our own self, but being filled with the Holy Spirit, we can do those things. Being filled, we can be a mighty tool in the hand of God. Being filled, not with this world, not with the spirit of this world, being filled with the Holy Spirit, we'll know what to do and when to do it. We'll know what to say and how to say it. We'll have the answer because God will be flowing and working through us and in us and with us. So tonight we want to look at that, being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's something that is not, it's not a one-time thing. You know, we need filled regularly. The Bible says that we're leaky vessels. We leak out those good things. And so we constantly need God to be filling us and lifting us up. So if we could catch these lights. Can you black out these ones? On the board right there to your left. Let's just watch this.
Here comes Corey Ten Boom.
Play it two times.
Corey Ten Boom. God bless her.
I can just tell you that is one of the most happy commandment of the Bible is be filled with the Spirit. And that's the word that I give you. And then you will be strong in times of persecution and great difficulties. And also, you will enjoy the times of joy. I have here a glove that cannot do anything. And I often feel myself like this glove. It cannot write, it cannot cook, it cannot do anything. But when my hand is in the glove, now it can even play the piano. You and I are just gloves. No, it is not the glove that plays the piano. It is the hand in the glove. It is the Holy Spirit in you and me who will make you strong in times that it will be dark, who will make you the light of the world in perhaps the most dark time of the world's history. But the Bible says, be filled with the Spirit. When I keep my hand only in the midst of this glove, now the glove cannot do anything. Everything must be surrendered. Every finger. And I just can ask you, surrender all to the Lord. Give yourself 100% for also the fingers must be filled. Even the smallest corner of your life. Give everything of yourself in His will And you will experience that Jesus was victor, and he is victor, and he will be victor. Hallelujah.
Oh, here comes Corey Kenboom.
Okay. What a powerful testimony, amen? If anybody can speak to the authority of being filled with the Holy Spirit, it's Corey Tinboom. She said just a simple word, be filled with the Spirit. She makes the comment about how it'll help you stand, it'll help you be strong, it'll help carry you through the darkest times. If anybody's lived through some dark times, it's Corey. Living through the hell of a concentration camp, watching her friends and family members murdered and tortured and abused, and coming through, can you sense, can you see her spirit? Can you feel her spirit? You see, that's not a woman. That's not a human. That's the Spirit of the Lord coming through. Pastor talked about an aroma recently. That's the aroma of the Holy Spirit. It comes through and people can feel it. People can sense it. You know, in and of ourselves, we are not the most pleasant beings. We get down, we get dark, we get distracted, we fight all kinds of different things, but the Holy Spirit, that our key is that the Holy Spirit would dwell in us, that we would be constantly filled. I love how she brings out the glove. We're just gloves. You know, the glove on its own is just lifeless. The glove on its own is just an inanimate object. It can do nothing. But with the Spirit, with the hand, when it's filled, it can do wonderful things. It can cook. It can play a piano. It can do whatever God intends it to do. And that's a great representation of what the infilling of the Holy Spirit is in our lives. And so tonight, that is something that is so important. Jesus, and I'll read this a little later, but Jesus said, you know what? I'm leaving, and it's better that I leave, because when I leave, the Holy Spirit's going to come, and he's going to be with you. He's going to reside. He's going to dwell in you, and he's going to dwell with you. And so this is something that's so important. This is something that we many times take for granted as Christians. We go through life, and all of a sudden, we're just kind of going through the motions. We're checking the boxes. We're showing up for things, but we're lifeless. And we don't have that joy. We don't have that power. I loved how she said that you'll be filled. You'll know the joy, genuine joy, which is not circumstantial, by the way. Amen? Genuine joy is something that comes from the Spirit. And so if we're going to keep that, it's going to be something we're going to have to strive for. It's going to be something, you know, all good things take some work. All good things take some effort to achieve or to attain or to hold on to. And so I'm just going to give you a couple of things. How do we maintain the feeling of the Holy Spirit? How do we keep ourselves full? And I want to say that the first thing that comes to my mind is that we have to have a hunger for the Holy Spirit. You know that hunger is a powerful force, isn't it? Hunger will drive you to do things. Hunger will drive you to take action. Hunger will motivate you to great lengths sometimes. But do you know something about hunger? Hunger can fade. Absolutely. I'm going to show you something here in a moment. Hunger can fade. You can get to a place, even physically, where hunger is absent. Smith Wigglesworth said, a young man came into a meeting last night and I asked him where he stood. He said, I am satisfied. I said, you are in a sad condition. There is nothing anywhere for the man who is satisfied. It is only the hungry and the thirsty that God says shall receive and be filled. For in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, it says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they will be filled. There are three phases of starvation. Think about this as it relates to your spiritual man. There are three phases of physical starvation. It says hunger typically fades as the body transitions through these metabolic stages. The first is called the alarm phase. Initially, hunger is intense and comes in waves as blood sugar drops. Your primary hunger hormone usually peaks during the first 24 to 48 hours. The second phase is called ketosis, or adaptation. Once the body depletes its sugar stores, it begins burning stored fat for fuel, producing ketones. At this stage, physical hunger pangs often dissipate significantly or disappear entirely. The body effectively stops wasting energy on hunger signals that are being ignored. Again, think about this as it relates to your spiritual man. The third stage is called the critical stage, or late starvation. After fat stores are exhausted, the body begins breaking down muscle and organ tissue for protein. While physical hunger will still be absent, it's amazing, physical hunger will still be absent, the body enters a state of severe lethargy, apathy, and cognitive decline. You know, if we took our spiritual man in for a checkup, a lot of us look good here tonight. Everybody here looks robust. I'll just leave it right there. Everybody looks healthy. Everybody has color. But I wonder if God could shine his black light down in here tonight on me. I wonder what my spiritual man would look. Would I find him with no hunger? Would I find him with lethargy? Would I find him with apathy? Would I find him in cognitive decline? Would I find him where he's no longer wasting energy, sending signals that are being ignored? It's very interesting. So you look at this tonight. You know how hunger dies? You just quit feeding your spiritual man. You miss reading the word. You start missing church. You miss times of prayer. You start missing all these things. Oh, we can go on fumes for a good while. But on the inside, we'll be starving. There's nothing there. And you know what? It does come out. It does come out, and that aroma fades, that light fades, that joy, that peace, that representation, you know, where Christ said that we're a light on a hill, all of that begins to fade. And that's not what God intended. God intended that we be filled with the Holy Spirit, that our spiritual man be robust, that he be always ready to give an answer, that he always be doing good and abounding in love, abounding in mercy, abounding in kindness, building people up, sharing the gospel, witnessing, loving people, teaching those around you to know Christ and to love the Lord. That's what God intended. That's why he sent his Holy Spirit. That's what Corey Ten Boom was talking about. We need to be filled. None of us can... Charisma and talent and all of those natural things will only carry us so far. We have to have something more. And if we're going to have it, we're going to have to hunger. We're going to have to seek it. As Wigglesworth said, there is nothing anywhere for the man who is satisfied. Are you satisfied tonight? Are you satisfied with where your spiritual man sits? Are you satisfied with his state, with his condition? Or do you recognize, I need more. I need to be filled. I need this area to change. I need my character to change. I need my thoughts to change. I need my yes to be yes and my no to be no. I want to be faithful. All of these things, we can never accomplish these things on our own. We're all chameleons at best without the Holy Spirit. So we have to understand that this is a spiritual life and death. Pray for God to fill you. Consume the word of the Lord. Rex sent me a wonderful testimony here a few days ago. I've listened to about 75% of it. It's the testimony of a man, an MMA fighter named Benil Dariush. And I don't know if I butchered that or not. Rex can tell me later. But many of you have seen him. Benil is his first name. I believe I got that right. But as he shares his testimony, he was raised by Christian Assyrian parents in Iran. They were farmers. And so he was around church. He heard different things. He grew up in it. But as many of us do, he goes his own way. He enters into all the worldly pursuits of fame and fortune and money and just gratifying your flesh. That's all what we do. We gratify our flesh. We seek after what we think will make us happy. And so he goes on and he shares his testimony, and he talks about how when he first began to pray, and he just prayed very simple, in just very simple phrases. Okay, God, if you're real, help me with this. And God would give him a breadcrumb. And God would begin to work, and he would begin to pray. And so as this began to develop, God finally started impressing on him to go to this pastor that had shared with him, that had reached out to him many times before. And he talked about how it was awkward and uncomfortable and all these different things. And this pastor encouraged him. He said, you need to be reading the Bible. He was sitting there in church all this time. And the pastor would read a scripture and this and that. He was having a conversation with him one day. And this pastor said, you know, you need to be reading this on your own. You need to be taking food in every day on your own. And it was this like light bulb moment for him that I need to be reading. And so he takes the Bible, and his pastor told him to start in Matthew, but his personality, he said, I couldn't just start in the middle of the book. He said, I had to start at the beginning. And so he talks about how he started in Genesis and just started working his way through, and he almost died in Leviticus, and he's going all the way through. And he says, but then I got to Matthew. And he says, I started reading about Jesus. I started seeing his life. I started to know him. I started to understand. I started to see things. And it was like it just opened up to him. And he said, I believe he made the statement, I fell in love with Jesus. Something began to happen. Why did that happen? Because he was hungry and he fed that hunger. He fed that hunger. From Genesis all the way through Matthew, he fed that hunger, and he got there, and he has a wonderful testimony today. He talks, he preaches for the Lord, he shares his testimony, he's very bold, he is not ashamed of the gospel, he has a hunger. Hunger can fade. Don't let your hunger fade. Where are you at tonight? What condition are you in? The second thing tonight is that we have to fight against becoming entangled with the world. You know, you have to guard your time. It's all the little things that suck the life from you, all the distractions, all the seemingly innocent activities that the world is doing 7 days a week. The world is engaging in these things all the time. And many of them are not evil, but they will suck the life out of you. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin. He separates those two. Did you see that? Let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles. And let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and the perfecter. What is he? Our example. He's the pioneer. He's the one that goes before us. He's the pioneer and the perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. He says we have to throw off everything that hinders and the sin. We know that sin offends the Holy Spirit. We know that habitual, we know that active sin, we know that God will not sit there why we're cursing out our family, or why we're engaging in any type of sin. We know that the Holy Spirit is sensitive to those things, and he's not. When those things are coming out of your mouth, I don't know the exact process, but I have to believe he just kind of shrinks back, because you're giving yourself over to something that's dark. When you're letting that thing go, when you're letting your flesh rule, he's shrinking, he's starving. So we know that, we understand that. But what about all those other things? What about all that, the everything? All those other things, the things that hinder us. I talked to the youth about this several times. You know, when that person gets ready to run a race or a marathon, they're not dressed in hunting boots and Carhartts and long johns and all those things. They're dressed in scandalous shorts, even the guys. They're streamlined, everything. They've got light shoes. They've got light clothing. They hardly carry anything at all. They don't have jewelry. There's no gold chains on people competing in marathons. They've stripped everything down. Why? Because they're focused. So they can run, so that they can press in, so that they can go forward. I can just tell you that in your life, you'll have to make some decisions. You'll have to set some things aside that are good for those things that God says are best. I can tell you, I could spend a lot of time just sharing some details about how God has helped me in my business and that I've grown and I've developed. And there are many things that have come my way. I've opportunities to serve on boards and do different things. And, you know, I could work 7 days a week. We turned down almost 200 clients in 2025. I turned down 150 before April 15th this year. I could literally fill every single hour of the year down at that office. But that's, God has better things for me. You see, so we have to be sensitive to the Lord. It's different for every person. God will guide, but those are those things. That's the everything. Now, work is not evil. Hobbies are not evil. Family time is not evil. All of these things are not evil, but we have to have the Holy Spirit to know what the everything is. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit to know what the everything, that thing that will entangle us and trap us. The third thing is that we have to be careful who we listen to. Colossians chapter 2, verse 6 says, therefore, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him and firm in your faith, just as you were taught and overflowing with thankfulness. Now listen to verse 8. Be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through an empty, deceitful philosophy that is according to human traditions and the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in him is the fullness of deity that lives in bodily form, and you have been filled in him, who is the head over every ruler and over every authority. He says, be careful not to allow anyone to captivate you through empty or deceitful philosophy. You know who anyone is? Anyone. Anyone and everyone. Anyone could be your parents. Anyone could be your friends. Anyone could be your boss. Anybody could be your family members. Anyone could be your co-workers, on and on. This is why you have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If somebody in authority over you is doing wrong and speaking wrong into your life and setting wrong patterns, are you going to follow? Or are you going to follow Christ? How are you going to know if you should follow or not? Maybe your parents are Christians. Maybe they sit in church. But what's coming out of them is incorrect. It doesn't line up with the Word of God. How will you know? The Bible also says honor your mother and father. Do you just honor your mother and father right into the pit of hell? Your pastor? How many people have followed weird religious groups and organizations and gone down to all kinds of crazy things? Is that the Lord's will? That's why the Lord says, be filled. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He says, don't let anyone lead you away. Don't let anyone deceive you. You've got to know the Lord. You have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I'm not saying rebel against authority. I'm not saying that you're not submitted or you're not accountable to anybody. But I'm saying, don't follow somebody off of a cliff. Follow Jesus to heaven. Amen. Thank you. Jesus is faithful. It's critical to be full of the Holy Spirit so you can discern the wrong and the right voices. Let me give you an example out of the life of Vance Havner. He says, may I relate to you a chapter of my own experience? I began to preach when I was a boy. After 4 years of preaching, I went away to school. And in the period that followed, I became unsettled in my beliefs. Listen to that. He's a preacher. He goes away to a Christian school. He says, I became unsettled in my beliefs. I felt under modernistic and liberal influences that I should adapt the gospel to the modern mind, which, by the way, is not very modern and not much of a mind. There came a day when my ministry failed, and I returned to my old country home in the hills. That winter, my father died, and I was left with my mother, having only a country grocery store as our support. And that was robbed and burned to the ground in the following spring. During those months, the Lord spoke to my soul. The Lord filled him. The Lord spoke to my soul, and the Lord led me to see that if I returned to that old gospel and preached it, he would clear the track for me. So I renounced that new approach and got into the will of God for me. First, I had to return to the church where I had preached the new position and give them the message that God had given me. The way was not always easy, but I can testify that God had gone before me and made arrangements. And I have found there to be a place of his abundant power and marvelous provision. Anybody can lead you astray. Anybody can get off. That's why we need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's why we need Jesus working in us and through us at all times. John chapter 16, verse 5, Jesus said, "But now I'm going to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, 'Where are you going?' Rather, you are filled with grief because I have said these things. But very truly, I tell you, it's for your good that I'm going away. For unless I go, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world to be wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment." And if you jump down to verse 14, it says, "And he will glorify me because it is from me that he will receive what he will make known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said that the Spirit will receive from me and he will make known to you." Another translation says he will guide you into all truth. We all need to be filled regularly with the Holy Spirit to live, to walk this life, to testify, to be godly parents, to be godly workers, to be godly husbands and wives, to be representatives of the kingdom of God, to go out and witness in Montrose, Colorado this Saturday. You don't need to just show up. If you're just going to show up just as a warm body, there's no point in going. You need to show up filled with the Holy Spirit. You need to show up and be prayed up and filled up and ready to share and to testify. And for what reason? Because the Holy Spirit puts those motives in your heart, the motives of care and concern for people who are dying all around us, for people who don't know Jesus. That doesn't come from natural human empathy. It comes from the Holy Spirit. Who cares about the one? Jesus. It's Jesus who left the 99. It's Jesus who cares about the lost. And so me on my own, I will be indifferent towards the lost. But if I'm filled with the Holy Spirit, I'll have his compassion. I'll have his love. I'll have his words on my lips. He'll flow through me just like Corrie Ten Boom's glove. He'll fill me, and I'll be used for his glory. Let's have every head bowed, every eye closed, just for a few moments here tonight.